I took him turkey hunting one morning. He was about 6 or 7 years old. Had a bird hanging out in the bottom field every day for a week. And I thought, we'll slip down there and get there early. We won't have to do anything but just be there, and we'll kill this turkey. And we weren't there 15 minutes that afternoon, and he leaned over beside the tree, and he said, "Dad, let's go fishing." I said, "Are you kidding me, Dad?" I was like, he'll be here in an hour, and you want to go fishing. He said, "Let's go fishing." So, Dad, damn it, let's go.
Camel boots on my feet, bow in my hand, walking in the early dawn to climb up in my stand.
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called Wise Eye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? Wise Eye Technology?
This camera has 5-megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should too. Make your hunt easier. Use WiseEye. WiseEye Technologies presents Welcome to American Roots Outdoors. We are in the studio at K-Country 95, running the boards. And the co-host today is Redbone Mike Crace. Redbone, it was cold this morning. I did not walk my 2 or 3 miles this morning.
Yeah, it was too cold. I waited about an hour late to go out and feed my dogs.
Yeah.
It was just terrible.
I'm telling you. You know,
and then the wind has just been relentless. And we're recording on Wednesday, for those of you that think back a couple of days.
Yeah.
Wednesday. It snowed in Mountain View.
It was snowing at the high school this morning while I was at Grandma Nell's eating breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was snow around.
Yeah.
On Wednesday morning. Again, recording on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's the Ozarks for you.
Yep. You don't like the weather just right around, it's likely to change.
Yeah. Hey, we got a great show, as always, lined up for everybody. We've got ARO team member from Kentucky, Thomas Moore. He's been with me even through the bloodline days. This guy has 7 boys, and he's been a guest on our show every year.
Oh, yeah, many times.
There's nobody any better about educating our listeners about taking care of the youth or mentoring them, how to prepare them to get them ready for their upcoming youth turkey hunt. As some of you listen to this, you'll listen to it Friday evening on KKOZ, Ava AM FM. Am I right? They still airing on Friday evenings? When they airing?
We're airing now on Saturday morning.
Okay, Saturday morning. So the turkey hunters will be listening to this.
Yeah.
If you're in the woods and you got earbuds or earphones or whatever, you can download the K-Country 95 app and listen to this show. So what we're going to do is share some tactics with you and what he does to prepare his kids for the upcoming youth season, how to entertain them, how to make the hunt enjoyable, Redbone.
Yeah, and to make it fair, all of the stations that we air on, all of them live stream on their website. So if you
that's good.
Yeah, they all live stream on the website. So any of those stations, if you just go to their webpage and hit listen now, you can listen on your local station.
Yeah.
Just to be fair.
Yeah. KAPE, Cape Girardeau. I don't know what their link is. And KWOC, Poplar Bluff.
Yep.
And KSMO, AM FM at Salem, Missouri.
Yep.
And K-Country 95 and KKOZ, AM FM at Ava, Missouri.
Yep.
We got a lot of listeners, Redbone.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah. So, let's talk sports.
All right.
High school baseball teams. Who are the teams that we need to watch that's really dominating right now in our listening areas?
Poplar Bluff.
Oh, really?
The Mules are really good.
Really?
Really good. And by the way, you can hear some of their games on the River Radio Network, which we air on the station at Poplar Bluff. They are really good.
Now, they're a 5A school, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Also, in the listening area, Licking, currently ranked number one in Class 3.
Come on, Licking.
Rogersville. Now, listen to this. Rogersville is ranked number one.
Is that right?
But they got beat Tuesday by Nixa, 10-0. So Nixa and Springfield must be really good. Ava is always really good.
Oh, yeah.
Mountain Grove.
Somersville.
Really good.
Somersville and Eminence. decent. Yeah.
I'll give him an average.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Thayer is just average and beat Eminence, 17-2.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And Thayer beat Winona? Winona usually has a good team.
Again, Thayer's just average, and they beat Winona, I believe it was 12-2.
Oh, my.
In five innings.
Mm. What about Liberty? They played Liberty?
No, not yet.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how good Liberty is. I would hope they're pretty decent. I don't know.
The talking SCA baseball, Mountain Grove, Ava. Always. And forever.
Mountain Grove and Ava.
And here's the difference. People ask all the time, how come we can't have a winning baseball team? Or, whatever school. What do we got to do to have a winning baseball team? Well, you've got to have a program, not just a team.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these teams that struggle maybe have a good year here and bad year here and then several bad years because you don't have a program. You have a team.
Yeah.
And I may take some criticism for this, but Thayer doesn't really have a baseball program. They have a baseball team. Yeah. Now, they're trying to change that.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of work, and it takes several years to get a program going instead of just having a team.
I want to add to that, too, what I think makes a successful team, whether it's in baseball, football, any sport, the town's got to get involved, too.
And the kids have got to get involved.
Yeah, pep clubs and everything,
Well, even the kids to play.
Yeah.
I mean, Thayer has no seniors.
As a kid growing up, I couldn't wait for summer to play summer league ball.
Oh, absolutely.
Little league, Pee Wee League, Pony League. Then got into high school and played my freshman year and lettered my first freshman year, Redbone, and did not play the rest of these high school years. I couldn't get along with the coach.
Yeah. Well, see,
he was very hard to get along with, and he was rude, So I didn't like that, so that's why I didn't play. And I'm not telling other kids to not play. I wished I'd had to go back and change that. I would learn how to adapt to understand him better. I just, I guess I wore my feelings on my sleeve. But
anyway, at the high school level, baseball is really kind of taking a back seat
to everything,
to the other sports.
Yeah. Now, what about girls softball?
Girls softball in the area is really good. Thayer Lady Bobcats are really good.
Okay.
They continue to win and win and win. Ava is really good. Willow Springs, not bad. I'm just kind of thinking, of the teams that I've seen.
They said Winona's pretty good. I've heard that.
Yeah, Thayer girls handle them pretty easily.
There's good teams around Poplar Bluff, the girls over there, Dexter.
I don't know anything about softball in Southeast Missouri or even in Southwest Missouri. I just have got interested in the last couple of years watching the Thayer Lady Bobcats. Girls softball. If I was going to be an umpire or even a coach, if I was to go back in history and I want to be a coach, I would coach or umpire girls softball.
Why is that? They get into it, don't they?
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, they have those little chants that they do in the dugouts, and the fans are passionate about it, and everything is right on. I mean, the bases aren't very far, and everything's real close. It's just
fast-paced.
Go to a game sometime.
I will.
I will. You'll absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Especially if you get two really good teams going at it.
Yeah.
It is outstanding.
Switching gears, St. Louis Cardinals, 3-3.
3-3. Well, as of, Wednesday morning, because they won Tuesday night, they won Monday. Matter of fact, as of Wednesday, they'd won three in a row. And they're 3-3 on a West Coast trip to the Dodgers and San Diego. If you follow Cardinal baseball over the years, the West Coast trip always one that dooms them. And they're 3-3, again, as of Wednesday morning. They've got to play one more with San Diego Wednesday night. But 3-3, start the season on the road, I'll take it.
Kansas City Royals, they beat somebody the other evening.
Yeah, I think they've won two. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They're hurting in Kansas City because, Tuesday night was the election and the voters said no to that tax proposal, at least from what I understand. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I just heard a blip on it. Said no to the proposal to build the new stadium downtown. And the Royals said, if you don't build us a new stadium downtown, we're leaving town.
Oh, man, they can't do that. Come on now.
Hopefully they will get that avoided.
Yeah, generates a lot of revenue for the state and for the city. Yeah. Hey, what about the Iowa ladies basketball team, and what about the LSU women walking off the court during the national anthem?
Yeah, I don't agree with that, but
no.
I guess, whatever you think you're doing right, I guess. But Iowa girls are really good. And, of course, Final Four, as you hear this on Saturday, was last night for the ladies. So, you know, as of this point, we don't know who's playing in the championship. But I'll make another statement. People will criticize me for it. The women's NCAA tournament has been more fun to watch than the men's NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, they get into it more. It's exciting.
It seems
kind of like a high school ball game.
It just seems like better basketball.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
But anyway, but the men's tournament's been good too. And, you know, UConn may win both national championships.
Crazy.
Could be.
Yeah.
And for the UConn ladies, that's nothing new. I mean, they've won like 23 national championships or something.
23?
In the last 40 years. Yeah, they've been the dominant team in women's college basketball forever.
That is like.
But maybe Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes can overcome and get that done. I hope so. Yeah. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah.
We need to go to break.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out real quick before we go to break. Wise Eye, Legacy, Hornady, Eagle Seed, Amped Outdoors, Apex Ammunition, and our local sponsors, Monty's Outdoors, Phillips Truck Repair, Dalton Pallet, Redbeard's, Casey's Tree Service, Peddler's Market, Wise Eye Hunt Control, Wagner's Heating and Air, Brown Oil Company, Legacy Farm and Land. And if we forgot anybody, we'll apologize. But I don't think we did.
I don't think you did.
Yeah. Thank you all. We're going to go to a break. We come back mentoring our youth during turkey season, but not only turkey season, in our everyday life, with Thomas Moore, ARO Team Kentucky.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Whiting with Bone Collector, and you're listening to my buddy Alex Rutledge on American Roots Outdoors, man. Don't miss an episode.
Hunting off the farm, wishing on some love. I've been on a big boy for a while. I can load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler.
Hey, turkey hunters. This is Alex Rutledge. Have you heard about Apex Ammunition? If you haven't, they are American-owned, American-made, made one at a time, hand-loaded. These turkey loads will give you the confidence that you need to close the deal on that old Hook Daddy Longbeard gobbler. For more information, go to www.apexammunition.com.
Across the creek, up a big old hill. Year after year, got my hunting gear.
Legacy Farmland Specialist LLC presents Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors, segment two of our show. As promised, we got our special guest, ARO Team Kentucky, Thomas Moore, the guy that has seven young boys that guides them every spring, and they all tag out every spring in Kentucky and Tennessee. This guy is a great example of a mentor. Our topic is mentoring our youth turkey hunters, and not only in the turkey woods, but in everyday life. And again, welcome to the show, Thomas.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, what I want to do here, Thomas, is some people may not know who you are. Do a quick bio of how long we've been together and about you and your family.
Well, Alex and I have known each other since I was probably 10 or 12 years old. He did a promotional gig there at Walmart in Fulton, Kentucky for Hunter Specialties. And I met him there, and we've been two peas in a pod ever since.
That's right. So we became friends, and then I asked you to be a part of Bloodline. You was with me all the years through Bloodline, and now you're with American Roots, and you pretty much run the waterfowl side of everything, and that's what you do. You specialize in that, but you are a turkey murderer and deer murderer as well. Talk about your family real quick.
Well, we've got seven boys from 16 down to four, and the five that are big enough to hunt are the ones that I'm always taking, deer hunting, turkey hunting, duck hunting, so on and so forth. But the smaller two are dragging up the rear here. Lincoln is, he'll be six. He is six, excuse me. That's the man, I can't keep up with him. He's done killed two or three turkeys and two or three deer already. And little Creed, he's the one we're waiting on. He's four this spring. And he's still a little timid with the gun. So we'll just have to wait till he's ready.
Yeah. So what is the secret to being successful with your success with your boys? Talk to us about what you do to mentally prepare them, but also shooting the guns, et cetera. Start there with your kids.
Well, first thing is guns that fit them helps. Mm-hmm. You got a gun that doesn't fit the kid properly and he's too small, it could hurt the kid. So with this many boys, I have modified guns that from full size all the way down to 10 inches of length of pull. So whatever size they fit in, I've got a gun that fits them. And if that gun fits them, it makes it easier for them to make those shots and be comfortable with those shots. But after I fit them with a gun and get them where they're comfortable with it, we, like turkey hunting wise, we shoot dove loads. I shoot the lightest dove load that I can put under the little kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that way they're not scared of the recoil. Mm-hmm. And you slip a turkey load in there on them when it's time to actually kill.
If I may interject, when you go to Thomas's house, Redbone, you've heard me talk about it before, is he's got a shooting range set up, and he's got a big pond right in front of his house, and he raises his wild ducks and turns them loose there, and he bands them. And he's also done some other neat things, but it's like going into a shooting range, and these boys learn how to shoot at a very young age. How old are your kids when you start them shooting, Thomas?
It depends on the kid. Lincoln was the youngest. He killed a turkey when he was 4 years old. And he was the youngest. But most of them, it's around between 5 and 6, around 5 usually. He was about a year quicker than everybody else. But that just depends on the kid. Like I said, Avin took him a little bit longer to grasp it, and so did Hudson. They were probably 6, almost 7. And it just depends on the kid. Some kids can pick it up and do good with it, but you don't ever want to force it on them. And if you do, you'll make them hate it. Mm-hmm. You've got to just see that they're showing interest in it and kind of feed that desire a little bit and be cautious about how you go about it. You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to force it on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Thomas, you'll
burn them out.
Yeah, Thomas, you mentioned a little while ago that your youngest, you're kind of waiting on him, and I think you said he was a little bit timid around the gun. You know, the laws of physics and statistics would show that out of 7, you might have one that doesn't have any interest at all in hunting.
It's very possible. You are correct.
So I'm assuming you're just going to let him come along at his own pace, and of course, that's just what you just said.
Yep, and Hudson was that way. He started out at about 5 or 6 and acted like he was going to show a little bit of interest in it. And then he just didn't care anything about duck hunt or hunting at all. And for a long time, he wanted to fish. That's all the boy wanted to do. I took him turkey hunting one morning. He was about 6 or 7 years old, had a bird hanging out in the bottom field every day for a week. And I thought, we'll slip down there and get there early. We won't have to do anything, but just be there and we'll kill this turkey. And we weren't there 15 minutes that afternoon, and he leaned over beside the tree, and he said, "Dad, let's go fishing." I said, "Are you kidding me, Dad?" I was like, he'll be here in an hour, and you want to go fishing. He said, "Let's go fishing." Dad's done it. Let's go.
Okay. Well, and, to each his own, and that's okay. Now, what about the oldest? Because I'm interested, as these kids that do this, as they get older, they start getting other interests. And you said you got a 16-year-old. That means driving.
Girls.
And girls. And,
hopefully girls.
You know, pressure from other things that kids do when they get to be teenagers. I mean, how's that working out? Is he still all in, or is he waning a little bit?
Well, this year he's back in. Last year he was 15, about to be 16. He's actually about to be 17 this summer.
Okay.
And he didn't show much interest. He did duck season this past duck season, but last turkey season, he just didn't show a whole lot of interest in turkey season. I said, "What's wrong?" He's like, I don't know. I've done so much with you that I just, it ain't no big deal to me." Well, come to find out, he was sniffing around after some girls. That's what we're talking about.
He was blowed up strutting, wasn't he? Spitting and drumming.
This year, he's coming back around. He's been talking about turkey hunting. He's been out listening with me. So he had a little minute, and I didn't force it on him. I let him pick and choose what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming back around this year.
All right. Yeah, and see, folks, I think that is the key right there of everything that we just heard from Thomas in this whole 8 minutes of this segment is you've got to let the kids kind of come along. You can't force them.
Yep, that's right.
If you force them, they'll turn against it. And, yeah. And you know, it's just the nature of the beast.
So let me ask you this, Thomas, and we're going to go on. We got about a minute left here in this segment. You can talk about in the next segment, but I'm going to ask you the question before we go to the break.
Okay.
What is some of the things that you do after you get your kids comfortable shooting and they got confidence in their gun at certain distances, and you teach your kids, you know, not to shoot too far to make sure you get a clean kill, clean harvest? What are some of the things that you do, and think about it for the upcoming segment, to keep the kids entertained and want to stay in the setup or in the blind? Think about that. We're going to go to a break. Okay. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Thomas Moore, ARO Team Kentucky, that has 7 boys that he takes turkey hunting every spring, and they are successful. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more American Roots Outdoors right after this.
Hey, y'all, it's Tyler Farr, and you're listening to my good buddy, Mr. Alex Rutledge, on American Roots Outdoors.
In my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground, around your heart, so you never gotta worry what the wind might.
Hey guys, it's food plot planting time here in the Ozarks and all across the country. What are you planting this year, Wayne?
I'm going to put some smorgasbord in with a whole lot of clover.
You're going to put some extra clover in it.
What? Smorgasbord? What is smorgasbord?
Man, it is a variety of annuals and perennials that'll get you through fall time, winter time, and all the way into spring.
It's awesome. You want to plant healthier food plots to track all kinds of game? Go to www.eagleseed.com. It's a smorgasbord. You know, we all get tired of certain things. The smorgasbord has everything. Your deer will love it. Eagleseed.com.
American Roots.
Hornady Ammunition presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors, segment 3 of our show. I just want to give you a big shout out. If you have a farm for sale or a place for sale and you are interested in buying something, hunting properties, etc., you know, give the friendly folks at Legacy Farmland Specialists, LLC, a phone call. You can go to their website. These guys are moving property redbone like crazy. These guys get you the best money for your property. They find you the best deals, and they are true professionals of taking care of you. If you've got a farm for sale, contact me, and I'll get you hooked up with them. You can message me on Facebook or contact me at my home office number, 573-292-3913. Now, back to Thomas Moore. Think about the question I asked you, Thomas. What do you do to keep your kids entertained so they don't get burnt out just sitting in a location or in a blind as you're working a turkey? What are some things that you do?
Well, see, that's one of the things that I've always done. A lot of guys start their kids out in ground blinds, and I don't have anything against ground blinds, but I can't sit there. He's gobbling, I got to go. We got to go kill that turkey.
I got
so many to kill in a 2-day time frame. Yeah. We got to get on the move. We can't sit there and wait. And so my kids are probably one of few families that I remember running. We run and go, and that's what we do. And that's how I start them out. That's how I teach them. I think maybe of all the turkeys my whole family's killed, maybe 4 of them have been shot from a ground blind. Yeah. I think Avin is up to – he's 16 or 17, and the states that he's hunted in, I think he's up to about 30 turkeys that he's killed. My 14-year-old's up to –
And they hunt several states.
Something.
They hunt Missouri.
Yeah, we hunt several states, yeah. And so none of – about 4 of them, I think, is all that we've killed out of ground blinds. So there's never really a dull moment. We're on the move. And so that keeps them entertained. Now, the littler ones, you may have to throw them up on your shoulders and take off like that because –
So you're saying you've picked them up and carried them to get on a gobbler?
Oh, absolutely. If they can't move their little legs fast enough, I'll throw them on my shoulders and grab a hold of their little hands so they don't lose balance, and we'll run. We'll get on him.
You know, I was talking to somebody. I'm glad that you said that because I talked to somebody just the other day and asked if his boy, if they were going to go on the youth season. He said, yeah. He said he likes turkey hunting a lot better than he likes deer hunting because we don't have to just sit there all day.
We can get up and move.
And I think maybe in that respect, turkey hunting, not quite as boring. I use that word cautiously, as deer hunting might be for the little fellers and the little girls.
Yeah. So what do you do to entertain them if you're running and gunning, you're sitting there working a turkey, say that gobbler's hadn't gobbled in a while and it's kind of slow? What do you do to keep them connected, so to say?
Well, if they get antsy after a few minutes, I normally try to explain the situation to them and kind of narrate what I feel like is going on with this turkey. In my mind, this is what this turkey is thinking. This is what he's doing. We need to set tight, or we need to make a move, or whatever it is, and I'm explaining to them how I'm reading this situation. I'm explaining it out loud to them so they understand while we're still sitting and not moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that goes to teaching.
That's mentoring.
Yeah, that's teaching, mentoring. Yeah. You're teaching those kids everything there
instead
is to know
about
turkey.
Instead of just setting them down, calling in a turkey, and letting them kill it, he's teaching them. And that's what we should do as fellow turkey hunters, mentors. We need to teach them not only about the turkey, but about plants, insects, snakes.
Anything you come along.
Any bird sounds you hear, animal sounds, finding sheds, looking for mushrooms. Yep. You know, be a mentor. Since, you know, we're talking mentor.
Yeah, and whatever type of hunting you do. And my youngest son, Adam, loves to deer hunt, and that's what we did when he was little. Yeah. We looked for the signs, explained why those signs were there, what was going on. I mean, all of it. If you don't teach him all of it, you know, just the killing part, well, it gets kind of boring.
Yeah, and reading turkey sign, dusting sites, feathers. What kind of feather is this? Is this a gobbler or a hen? Turkey droppings, long J shaped as a gobbler. Hens are small popcorn kernel looking like, you know. So, Thomas, what do you do when it comes to scouting? I know there's different ways to scout, and I know you're a big advocate of the WiseEye cameras. How important is it to use cameras in scouting?
Since these cell cameras have come along, they've helped out a lot. Alleys and areas and paths through the woods that in years past, you know, these birds frequent for their strut zones and stuff. I always try to put a camera in that area.
Yeah.
And like right now on one of these farms that we're hunting, we've got six longbeards that's coming through that alleyway every morning.
Mm.
Well, it started out six longbeards about 2 weeks ago. Now they've broke down to there's two groups of there's a three and a wad and a couple others that's running through. But anyhow, they're coming through it every morning between 7 and 8 o'clock. And then around dinner time, they're in there again. And then later afternoon, about 3 o'clock, there's another pass through of them coming through there. So that tells me by those cameras that I've got a ground blind set there. So the smaller boys that have trouble holding the gun, if I can't come up with anything else running and gunning, I do know I can slip in there and sit there in that spot, and we can make that happen. So same thing with my chufa plots. I plant chufa. I love that stuff. So many people have trouble getting it to grow here in Western Kentucky, and I'm not a farmer, but I've always had very good success with that.
The eagle
and
seed chufa.
And I'm telling you right now, when they find it, they will not leave it until every crumb is dug up and gone.
You know, I planted it at my place, and they just didn't go crazy over it. I mean, they eat on it, but they didn't go crazy over it like they do yours. I don't know whether it's the soil or whatever it is. But, you know, back on the WiseEye cameras, the neat thing is, guys, and we've talked about it and mentioned it several times, if you've got several cameras set up on strut zones and, say, food plots, areas where turkeys are frequenting, and you've got a slow morning, and say you set up on a gobbler that you've worked, and all of a sudden you lost him, he shut up, you're thinking in your head, I need to run and gun, I need to strike a turkey, then all of a sudden you're thinking, man, I'm getting frustrated, and all of a sudden your phone buzzes, and there's a gobbler with three hens over in food plot 4, where are you going to go, you know? And it collects data by how many visits is at the camera of turkeys and tells you the best time to be there.
Mm-hmm.
In these food plots or wherever you set the cameras up. So
yeah, and the real time photos, I mean, for turkey and deer both, I mean, that's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it. Well, you know where they're at, you know, and it can help you be more successful. And, you know, certain states do not allow that. I think Pennsylvania doesn't allow it. I learned that at 10WTF when I spoke about them. But anyway, the cameras can be a great tool for scouting. And when you're scouting, how do you go about scouting? We've got 45 seconds left. What are the things you do to scout prior to season?
We start scouting as soon as the birds start gobbling. Like my boys, the older boys, have been listening to turkeys gobble in Western Kentucky since the second or first end of the first of the second week of February here this year. And what we do is we just go out and listen in the mornings at a distance, and you kind of get an idea where those birds are roosting pretty much every day, every other day, or whatever the case may be. And so that tells you how many birds you're hunting on average, and kind of their patterns, what they're doing. They're roosting there, they're hitting the ground, they're going this way, and so you're doing a little bit of homework, and you're kind of, you already have an understanding of what these birds are doing before you bust into the woods on opening day of season. We always have done that. As soon as the birds start gobbling on the farms that we hunt, we always try to get out and start listening. A lot of folks think it's silly that we get up so early before work in school just to listen.
Yeah.
But it gets you pumped, it gets you excited, and you know
you know where they're at. Yeah, you're on top of your game. You're on top of your game. We're going to go to a break, everybody. And when we come back, we got more with Thomas Moore, ARO Team Kentucky, mentoring our youth in the turkey woods and in everyday life. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Hey, folks, this is Richard Young with the Kentucky Headhunters down here in Southern Kentucky. You're just listening to American Roots Radio with Alec Rutledge right down here from Kentucky, but he's out yonder somewhere else. He's way out there. Y'all check it out.
Accurate, deadly, dependable, Hornady ammunition. From a two-man operation in 1949 to a world-leading innovator of bullet, ammunition, reloading tool, and accessories design and manufacturer today, Hornady, each piece is hand-inspected to ensure consistency and quality. Ammunition engineered to perform flawlessly, simply put, the best. Hornady ammunition. Find Hornady ammunition at a retailer near you and at Hornady.com.
Apex Ammunition presents. Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors. This is segment three, four.
Final segment of the radio
show.
Flying by today.
Yeah. Apex Ammunition. If you've not ever shot Apex Ammunition, you're in for a rude awakening. It will make you a believer. And Thomas, when you're patterning, you touched on it earlier. How important is it for the kids to know the effectiveness of their gun? And I know you shoot Apex Ammunition as well. And how much has Apex Ammunition changed your beliefs and being a successful turkey hunter for the kids and yourself?
It's changed your effective range from what used 40 yards used to be. Man, if you could just shoot 40, that'd be awesome. Like when I was a kid, if you could shoot 40, you were doing something. My targets at the house, I've got them set up in 10-yard increments, and they start at 40 now. And I take them all the way out to 100, and I'm not promoting shooting turkeys at 100 yards, but I'd like to see what the gun's capable of doing. And that's what we do. We'll shoot 10, 20, you know, 30, these increments until we know the effective range of each gun. Now, I've got some little 20 gauges that the boys use that I will guarantee you without a doubt in my mind at 70 yards, they will stone cold kill a turkey every time they pull the trigger. And
With Apex,
that's correct. And there's others that I wouldn't let them shoot past 50 yards, but I know each gun and what it's capable of doing. You don't want to go through all that trouble dragging them boys out and walking their little butts off just to blow a shot or cripple up an animal. And so I am strongly advised knowing your equipment and what it's capable of doing. There's a lot of folks that just go buy a box of shells off the shelf, put it in their gun, and they go, and that's fine if you're shooting a turkey 20 yards or under, but that's not always the case, you know. That's what I tell guys. You know, you shoot that Apex, why do you want to shoot a turkey at 60 yards? I don't want to shoot a turkey at 60 yards. I want to shoot him at 5.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case. And these kids want to shoot something, you know. And so anything you can do to increase their odds of actually getting to harvest an animal, that they're going to enjoy it that much more. So know your equipment. Know what it's capable of. Let them shoot it. Let them be comfortable with it. And then when that scenario comes along, there's no hiccups. They've got it. Just like practicing for baseball or basketball or anything else, you know what you can do.
Yeah, Thomas, How much of that training do you do as far as those kids? I know you're always with them, I guess, so that probably is part of it, but them knowing how far that turkey is. Because I could imagine 5, 6, 7, even 8-year-olds going to have trouble understanding how far is 30 yards, how far is 40, how far is even is 60. So how much work do you do trying to get them to understand distances? Or do you just wait and depend on yourself? Or do you do like, you know, tell them, all right, we're set here. See that tree over there? That's 20. See that bush over there? That's 50. I mean, how do you go about getting them in tune with the range they're shooting?
Do you use a range finder, Thomas?
Well, one of the boys has got to where they usually pack it because I can usually guess the range usually within 3 to 5 yards pretty close. And so they got to where they're packing a range finder trying to prove that I don't know what I'm talking about, but they always end up eating that. And so, yeah, that's what we'll do. I'll sit down and I'll be like, all right, there's a tree over here. There's a fence post over there. When he gets there, that's a done deal. And so that's what we do. But like little Lincoln, he was 5 last spring, and he'd killed a turkey the spring before for his first year of hunting. Last year, I took him up, and we set up in the woods, and I stapled turkey targets to the trees at various different yards through the trees, through the woods, stuff to shoot through. And I made him pick out the target.
That's good.
And shoot the turkey. Shoot the target. So he understands, because a lot of times shooting across a wide open field, they get that. That's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's hard to get through to them that you're shooting a shotgun. There's a lot of projectiles coming out. And just because there's a little limb or a twig or something small or a blade of grass don't mean that you can't still kill that turkey. You know what I mean? So that's what I was trying to show him last year by setting these targets up throughout the woods. And we sat there against a tree, and he didn't sit between my legs. They sat beside me. Once they start getting big enough, I make them hold their own gun. They do it all. All I do is sit there and I try to talk to them, explain to them what's going on right beside them.
Yeah. You know, Thomas.
And that's what I would have him do. I would have him pick out
that's very good.
Far left target. Get on that bird and let's see how long it takes you to get on him and shoot him.
What you've taught him there is.
And I got by the end of it within seconds. He could pick that gun up, boom, and shoot and kill it and hit that target every time. And what that is, if case one pops in on us that we're not expecting, that scenario was to come along, he's prepared. I'm confident that little man can make that shot.
Yeah. What you've taught him is to be patient and select his shots to make sure he makes a clean, ethical kill. We got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes left here. We're going to talk about mentoring other than turkey hunting, but I've been around you and your family for many years, and the obedience of your kids is phenomenal. It's impressive. How important is it to teach your kids to be respectful and where's your stance on your belief in Christianity, your faith?
My stance and my belief. Without Jesus, we're nothing, folks. You ain't got Jesus, you need to look into it, because there's going to be a rude awakening, and I think it may be coming a lot sooner than a lot of folks realize. I really do.
You know, Thomas, I know you take your family to church often, every Sunday. What are some of the things that you share with your kids? And some of the lifestyle you live with your kids. Talk about that.
Maybe I'm a little old-fashioned. My grandparents raised me, but I still try to do things a lot like the way I was raised. You know, we still try to use our manners and help folks when they need help. And you see an elderly person struggling on the side of the road, stop and help them shovel their driveway. Just, you know, anything we can help, that's what we're supposed to do. And that's what I try to push to them, you know. It ain't about me, me, me. This world these days has made everything about me, me, me. And that ain't the way it's supposed to be. You're the last person on the list. You're supposed to take care of others before you take care of yourself. And that's
beautiful.
That's what I try to teach them.
Beautiful. Well, you can see it in your kids, the way they conduct themselves around other people. They're very respectful. They don't interrupt conversations. And if they do, you correct them, the younger ones. And all of his kids are very polite, Redbone.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a problem with that as a society, teaching our kids. And I think the word that best describes the way kids should be humble. You know, when kids, and I see this all the time, you know, there be 2 or 3 kids in a group of adults, and the kids think the focus should be on them.
Yeah.
No, the focus is on whatever the adults want the focus to be, not what the kids want it to be. So, you know, kids should be humble, and, you know, I go back to what my dad used to tell me, kids are to be seen, not heard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's plain and simple. Kids are to be seen, not heard.
Yeah.
Now go outside and play. We're in here having a discussion. Or, you know, we're talking or whatever. This is not something you need to be involved in.
So. Yeah. I think what we're seeing today, not all kids are bad.
No,
but the kids that are raised in a Christian atmosphere, you're seeing kids that are very respectful, a majority of them. And they're taught to respect their elders and respect others. And the society today needs more of this. You know,
yeah,
I'm going to end it in this. Our country's in a mess. And we got situations that's promoting things that ain't of the Bible. Like you said, Thomas, the end is near. And people better get right.
That.
They better get right. And I want to commend you, Thomas, for the way you raise your kids and what you stand for. And that's why you and I have always been such good friends. And you're a part of American Roots Outdoors. We greatly appreciate you and the way you live and the way you represent us and our partners.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah. We're going to wrap it up here. We got the bonus segment coming up. If you're a podcast listener, you can go to any podcast carrier and look for American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge. And you can download the app and listen to all of our shows or go to our website, www.AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We're going to talk more about mentoring the youth in this bonus segment, the things that him and his wife does to mentor their kids to be good kids. Again, thank you for what you stand for, Thomas. And always remember, you already know this, Thomas, our saying, when your roots runs deep and strong,
there's no need to fear the wind.
That's right. Thomas Moore, ARO Team Kentucky.
So you never got to worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Take it to a holler, take it to a field, across a creek, up a big old hill.
Do you want to sell your land? Do you want to buy land, hunting land, farmland? Contact Legacy Farm and Land Specialist, LLC. Ryan McKinley, tell us about Legacy.
Legacy Farm and Land Specialist, LLC is based out of Poplar Bluff, Missouri. We service all the state of Missouri. We're opening up an office in Kentucky. Come and see us.
There you have it, folks. Legacy Land and Farm Specialist, LLC. Buy, sell, auction. Ryan McKinley, 573-683-1449.
In my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground, around your heart. So you never.
Eagle Seed presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors. This is our bonus segment. We are in the studio at K-Country 95 in Redbone. Mike Crace and myself and our special guest, ARO Team Kentucky, Thomas Moore, mentoring our youth in the Turkey Woods and in our everyday life. You know, we touched on the last segment, Redbone, and he shared with us some of the things he does to share to his kids, to teach them to be good kids, good people. And he touched on his Christianity, his faith. And I want to elaborate and get deeper into this. And I need you to stress to our listeners how important it is to teach our kids to be good people.
It's important now more than ever because it seems like this country is headed the other direction as quick as it can go. If you read your book of Revelation,
come on,
you'll see a lot of that unfolding right now.
Come on. Preach it, brother.
Yeah. Peoples are all about themselves. Everything that's wrong is considered right, and right is considered wrong. And I'm telling you right now, it's right here in front of us. And if you don't teach your kids which path they need to be on, this world will consume them, and it'll consume them quickly.
Well, that's what's happening.
Everything they see and everything they do is telling them that what is of Jesus is absolutely wrong. So if you don't get them while they're young enough to believe what you're saying and follow you and respect you and understand you, then you might be in trouble with them.
Yeah. Because I do honestly believe the end is near.
Oh, I do.
I tell my kids all the time, I was like, I might not get to see Jesus in my lifetime, but I do believe y'all will.
Oh, you'll see him when you leave here, though. When you make it to heaven, we'll see him.
On the earth.
Yeah, the coming. Yeah, the coming. Yeah. Your thoughts, Redbone?
Well, my thoughts is, and back to what Thomas said, you know, here's the thing about when you're raising your kids, and I've raised three. All of mine are, and my youngest is 31. So, but the evil side, the devil side of things, everything's bright and shiny.
Yeah.
And everything's easy.
Yeah.
It's hard to walk the Christian road. I mean, you know, we're promised a mansion in heaven and streets paved with gold. But here on earth, that's not the case.
No.
But the devil is giving everybody these streets of gold. It's easy. It's easy to come over to my side. And that's, you know, kids sometimes don't understand that. Why should I take the hard road when I could just take the easy road? And that's why we have to make them understand the hard road is the road that gets you to heaven.
Wow.
Not the easy road.
That is impressive.
I seen a meme on Facebook the other day, and I'm telling you, it was spot on. An old boy took his finger and wet it and stuck it into the sand. And on his finger was probably a few hundred grains of sand. And that's your life on earth. And it had in the next picture was a picture of the desert where it was nothing. The grains of life of sand is your time on his finger was your time here on earth. And the rest of that was eternity.
Mm.
Think about that.
Wow.
Yeah, and where do you want to spend that eternity?
You can't even fathom eternity, and you're going to spend it in the worst place that there is, period. No, thank you. I'm going to do what I think is right to make Jesus smile every time I got a chance. I try to. I fail every day. I'm far from perfect.
Yeah,
but
me too. I'm not perfect.
I wake up trying anyway.
Yeah. And we got to be like Christ, you know, in everyday situations. If something ain't right, we need to tell people, you know, but tell them in love. Yeah. Tell them in love, not with flesh.
There's so many people these days, though, that think just because you try to help somebody and explain
what they're doing
is wrong, that they take offense to it. And they don't understand that you're not. I mean, if that's your choice and that's how you want to go about your life, more power to you. But as a Christian, my job is to inform you of where you're failing in case you don't know. And that way, maybe that gives you the free will, the choice to make things right. You know, I've done my part, and all I can do is plant a seed.
Yeah, you can lay your head down and sleep at night.
The rest of it's between you and God. If you turn your back on him, that's between you and him. Yeah. I did my part.
You know, Apostle Paul said it best, Redbone. Thomas, I must die daily. And dying daily means repenting, asking for forgiveness. But you know, I just want to say this. You know when you're truly saved, if you've got a conviction, if something comes up that's not Christ-like and you're tempted to do it, and you got a conviction not wanting to do it, that's the Holy Spirit in you telling you, hey, don't go there, Thomas. Don't go there, Redbone. Don't go there, Alex.
Exactly right.
I live within you. Yeah.
I was saved when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And between the age of 10 and me probably late 30s coming back to where I needed to be with Christ.
Yeah.
I went through things growing up. I just kind of went with the flow because people did it, but there never was a time when I didn't feel like conviction is what it was. I didn't, you know, I felt like, man, I really shouldn't be doing this, but
yeah.
I'll do it because they're doing it. And then later on in life, I kind of thought, well, maybe I wasn't saved. And then after I did a little digging and a little research and a little studying, he was there the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there the whole time.
He never left you.
I had that conviction because the people that don't have Jesus in their heart don't feel a thing when they do things like that. Not a thing.
No. So to wrap it up here, we just got a minute or so left here. Thomas Moore's a great mentor, Redbone.
Absolutely a great mentor. And you know, I think there are a whole lot of great mentors
out there. There is.
And, you know, we were talking earlier about kids. There are more good kids than there are bad kids.
I agree.
We just hear about the bad ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like professional sports. You know, we always hear about the bad guys in the NFL, the bad guys in, you know, we got the Rashee Rice thing going on with the Chiefs right now.
Oh, man.
You hear about the bad guys in Major League Baseball, you know, Shohei Ohtani and this gambling deal. The bad guys in the NBA getting arrested, and the bad guys in, you know, they do whatever. But 99% of the guys are good guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know a number of professional athletes.
Oh, I do.
I know a lot of professional athletes. Every one of them is a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. We all stumble and fall.
We do.
Even and we got to die daily.
Even
that's
the
deal. Die daily. Again, Thomas Moore, thank you for your knowledge and sharing your roots of how you raise your kids and how to mentor them in the turkey woods, but more importantly, in their everyday walk. Again, thank you to all of our partners that help make our shows successful. Thank you to our team in the studios, Redbone, Mike Craich, Wayne Locke for editing. We thank everybody. We're nothing without God in our lives, Jesus Christ. Teach your kids to be Christ-like. Teach your boys to become men and your girls to become ladies. And always remember, when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
How many of you are tired of your batteries running out of energy, out of power? Let me tell you about Amped Outdoors. I've changed using the batteries I have had in the past. Amped Outdoors, I have the new 80 amp, 24 volt, single battery, weighs 46 pounds. This thing has produced energy all day long. Tested for 2 days, total use 11 hours. Cannot tell the batteries have even lost any energy. Go to Amped Outdoors if you want to be successful and not run out of power.